EA Radio is pleased to welcome to the studio Kent Rominger, who today is the Vice President of Strategy and Business Development for Orbital ATK's Propulsion Systems Division. But in his past life, Ken was a NASA astronaut flying 5 times on the shuttle, twice as commander. He's also an F-14 pilot, was deployed in Desert Storm as a naval aviator, and has a Bonanza. Kent, welcome to EA Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Apart from your background in the Navy and at NASA, your work at Orbital ATK is taking us as a country and as a planet places we've never been before. Talk about what's going on now.
So it's an exciting time, and I joke that it's also the best kept secret. But NASA's new space launch system, we've been working on it for a decade. It's a huge rocket that's going to enable us to put several 100,000 pounds of mass into orbit. And the reason you need to put so much mass into orbit is that's what it takes for a Mars campaign. So we're going to put humans on Mars in the 2030 timeframe. The initial flight of this system will be in just a couple of years, in 2018, and it'll be unmanned. Now, some of us argue that, hey, we're willing to step on that first vehicle because we're confident that it'll be safe, that the capsule has an abort system. But it's going to go out around the moon and actually be further away from the planet than we've ever had a human capsule. The next mission that will be manned will have humans in it, and they'll be further away from the planet than we've ever had before. But anyway, then humans will operate out in the vicinity of the moon. We use the term cislunar. As we assemble the equipment that we need for a campaign to translate to Mars, and for those that have seen The Martian, it'll actually be similar to the ship, you know, the transfer ship with propulsion tugs. And then when you get in the vicinity of Mars and you're orbiting, now you need a vehicle to take you to the surface. You need a small habitat down there to live in. That you'll probably be on the surface for 6 to 8 months, come off the surface, so you need an ascent vehicle. You'll rendezvous back up with that transfer vehicle that took you there, and another 8 month trip back home. So the whole campaign is a good 2 years.
So clearly there's a lot coming online, a lot of hardware, a lot of work needing to be done. Is there funding to get all this done the way it's being laid out today?
So this is one of those areas where, please thank your congressman. So the House, the Senate, Republican, Democrat, all alike have been very supportive of this system. It's neat to see that actually because of the public, but Congress is supportive. So we've been given a budget very close to what was originally requested. It's typically slightly less than ours is, but the funding levels have been very good, which has enabled us to stay on schedule.
So here's a guy in the space business saying, yep, we have enough money to do this.
So we have enough money to meet that schedule. The fact is, we're doing other things that are cost us money. And, you know, retiring the shuttle, everybody's like, oh, my, you know, that was horrible. And being a shuttle hugger, I was very sad when we retired the shuttle. However, you know, with a fixed budget, you can't afford to have several different spacecraft, particularly if one of them's in the development phase when it costs a lot. So, you know, at the time, too, we had the shuttle and we have station. And so today we still have station, but by retiring the shuttle, that allows for funding to help us develop the space launch system in Orion. And as time goes on to ramp up flight rates, the funding requests will go up. But for where we are today, yes, we're actually pleased with the funding levels.
Now, it strikes me as we're talking about this that your career in NASA, when it came to an end, you had some really interesting things to sort of sink your teeth into as somebody in the space business. And for the dozens and dozens of former shuttle astronauts, many of whom come to AirVenture, we were talking about several that you and I have both seen kind of around the grounds for years, right? There's a lot going on for them, and it's not the way I remember it in the 70s and 80s when people who were involved with Gemini and Apollo left NASA, and there wasn't, other than shuttle, the shuttle was the only game in town pretty much at that point.
Right. It is an exciting time, right, with space launch systems. So all four of the companies, Boeing, Lockheed, Aerojet, Orbital ATK, you know, I have friends in all of those places. Some of the newer companies coming on board. So Blue Origin, a real close friend of mine, is up there. And, you know, he may be flying a suborbital flight within the next year or so on their vehicle. Sierra Nevada is building a space plane that looks kind of like a miniature space shuttle. And quite a few folks are involved in that I'm good friends with. So So it is it's a really fun time, and when you wind up at conferences around, you get a tag up with all your friends and buddies. But it's been a very fun life after not flying, right? So I would love to be flying in space, you know, or be loved to be flying my trusty F-14 Tomcat again, dogfighting. But given that, hey, for the most part now, I'm relegated to something much slower and a desk, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing.
But it's not like you're still stuck on the ground. I mean, you do fly, and you said that you have a Bonanza that's been in the family.
I do. I have my father's Bonanza. It's been in the family since 1966, so it's an older V-tail model. And when I got it, I debated what to do. But anyway, I wound up putting in a larger engine, the IO-550, so 300 horsepower. I reupholstered it. I did that myself with nice leather upholstery. Then put in a new panel, so I have a glass panel and full IFR capability. And so I think pretty much I've done about all I can to it. And it still goes about a tenth the speed that it needs to. But
well, it just depends on what you're used to, I guess. Did you fly it here, by the way?
I did not. Okay. No. So.
Well, yeah, this was kind of a work trip. You probably haven't had the chance to lounge around in the campground, have you?
So I've been pretty busy.
We're talking with Kent Rominger, who flies a Bonanza, but in the past has flown F-14s and the Space Shuttle a few times. Kent, you and your company, as well as other aerospace contractors, have been involved in a series of forums this week talking about getting people to Mars. Could you give us short summaries of some of the presentations that you've been part of?
I can. And so one of them was Journey to Mars. So we had all the companies I discussed talking about the hardware. And it's pretty neat because you can see, you know, the RS-25s are being tested and ready. The solid rocket boosters are tested. We showed those tests. You know, our most recent test was about a month ago. The core of the vehicle, the big core that Boeing's producing, there's pictures of the hardware in the factory coming together. The launch site at Kennedy is coming together for the pad that it's going to come off of. So talking about that mission and showing, hey, it's not just a bunch of PowerPoint charts with pretty artist conceptions. You know, we've got actual hardware we're showing. Another panel I was on was Meet an Astronaut, and Charlie Precourt, Brian Duffy, two very experienced astronauts, great folks. But then we also had Jenna Resnick. She's a 14-year-old astronaut wannabe. And we realized, you know, we need to kind of start spanning generations in... She is a very capable, articulate young lady. Her aunt was Judy Resnick, who was lost on Space Shuttle Challenger in 1986. And the connection is her father, as part of the family started an organization called Challenger Center. There's 40-some of those around the nation, a couple of them internationally. But they run missions, right? You come in kind of like a little space camp. You show up, you're either in the control center or you're part of the crew, and then you flip. And it's a really neat way to inspire these children to get involved in space. But really, the underlying is science and math, right? So we can technically. So Jenna's father's on that board of directors, as am I. I happen to be the chairman of that board. So we're pulling her in. There's a couple other forums coming up. One of them is The Right Stuff. So, hey, what does it take to be an astronaut? Jenna is on that one. Another very capable scientist engineer, Lockheed Martin, is applying, and she's very competitive for the program. She will be on this forum as well, Sarah Heise. And so we kind of have the young, the medium, and the old. I'm the old one on that panel. And then I'm looking at Kay. We have a Geeks Inherit Deep Space. And this is kind of pulling some of the engineers that really understand the science and the why we're doing what we are with our system together to discuss and try to put it in terms that the folks in the audience can understand. But if they want to ask questions to kind of to probe and go deep, because you do have folks here with that kind of technical expertise, we can address those questions for them.
So there have been opportunities this week and will continue to be this week for folks to kind of hear the story and talk to a range of people about what we're doing in space. One other question I wanted to ask you. Do you get sentimental when you come here and see what you used to fly in the Navy flying again?
I do, right? I miss it, and I would love to climb in it, right? So
F-14 and F-14B, right?
Yes.
And what else? Anything else you see here that you used to fly?
So I flew the F-18 a little bit, but the T-28 was the first airplane as a trainer. So I got to fly it in primary training, and I loved it. I loved starting it, right, and just feeling it rumble and the sound of the engine. So I saw T-2 flying. I've had great time in the T-2. And then the A4 Skyhawk was a lot of fun to fly. So, as a test pilot, I managed to get in a lot of different airplanes. So some of the Air Force airplanes as well. I love seeing them fly. And I think I'm going to get a fly in an F-16 in a couple of months. I had never gotten to fly in an F-16. So anyway, yes, I see these airplanes and I love watching them. I would rather be in them. But it is great.
And how many other places in the world can you come and do this in a week?
I don't think any, right? This is unique. This is such a special place.
Kent Rominger, a former shuttle astronaut, F-14 driver, and now an executive with Orbital ATK. Thanks for coming to visit with us today.
Thank you so much.
For EAA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.